Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 165 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Jenny Herkenbach. Jenny lives in Omaha, Nebraska, and she is a happily unemployed occupational therapist. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, I love how you said that. Happily unemployed.
Yes. My unemployment status was supposed to be about 6 months long, and here I am a little more than 2 years later, still happily unemployed. So,
well, there's so much to do.
There is so much to do. I agree. So, no, most of my days right now involve taking care of, we live in a historic property in Midtown Omaha, and there's a lot to do. The to-do list is very long. So that's what the majority of my days are spent doing when I'm home.
That's great. I just remember when I retired from teaching. I mean, of course, I was retiring to have a second career. But, you know, I heard other teachers who had retired that said, once you retire, you just won't even believe how you fit in teaching into your day. But it's true.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And I definitely left with the intention to come back or to, you know, pursue a second career. And it turns out my second career is spoiling my grandkids and taking care of this house. So there you go.
I think that is a fabulous career. I embrace it fully.
It's not a bad gig. Being a Mimi is probably my favorite thing ever. So.
I love it. Things work out. So let's talk about fasting. Although I would love to talk about historic houses because
right?
I like have a thing for that. You know, my last house.
We could talk about that
for
a long time.
I've lived in houses from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. Let me think. Now I'm in one from the 70s. It's a different kind of.
Ours was built in 1906, so she's an old girl, but we love her.
I've never lived in one that old. My grandparents, though, started my love of historic houses. My grandparents bought a house from the 1860s. When I was one, and my grandmother did so much of the restoration with her own two hands. She was an interior designer, and my grandfather was a trained architect. So anyway, that would be a different podcast, but I would love it.
Yes, it would.
But let me start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
I feel like I came to fasting a little bit differently than a lot of your other podcast guests. So a lot of the stories I've heard is that people came to fasting first, and then they had major life changes after. I was the opposite of that. I was on a path of learning to like myself, and fasting was discovered along that journey. So to explain that a little bit, I spent way too many years not liking myself, and it was one of those things where I would just look in the mirror with disdain and realized, I cannot live like this. This is not a healthy way to live. And so I made a commitment to stop that.
Yeah. I think that I bet a lot of listeners can resonate with what you're saying, because I just read a really interesting book about something like you're addicted to the monkey mind, I think is the name of it. And we tell ourselves so many stories in our minds that are based on old programs. It was written by someone who counsels people who are stuck in those old programs. And you've got to get rid of those old programs before you can be your best self. And it sounds like that's what was happening with you.
It definitely was. I remember distinctly, you know, part of this was a gray hair journey for me also. And I remember distinctly getting out of the shower one day, and I was heading to a meeting and looking in the mirror and just going and not liking what I saw, talking to myself in the worst way and thinking, I would never talk to anyone else like this, ever, no one. And that was really a tipping point for me. It was a tipping point to, first of all, accept that I've had gray hair since I was a teenager. I think I found my first gray hair in junior high. And why do I have to hide that? And then being like, now, wait a minute. If I'm trying to hide that, what else am I hiding? And it really became just this spiral from there to where I put a note up on my mirror in the bathroom that says, hello, gorgeous. And, you know, I would look at it in the mornings and be like, ugh, ugh. And then I would stop.
Yeah. Because it didn't feel like it wasn't matching what you were saying inside your own head still.
No, not at all. So I would look at it and I would roll my eyes and I would make ugly scoffing noises. And then I would go, stop, stop. This is where we're going to change this. And now I look at that hello gorgeous on my mirror and I believe it.
That's fabulous. You've rewritten that internal script that was playing in your head for so long.
Yes. And it's work. It's work every single day to do that. And we're in a society that teaches us to always put others first. You know, we get a lot of mixed messages in a very competitive society that applauds you for achievement. You know, we get this mixed message of you need to go achieve, you need to go do things, but you can't love yourself too much. You should love others first. And it's like, you know, we forget that, you know, on the airlines, they always tell you.
I was going to say that.
You know, you put your oxygen mask on first so that you don't pass out trying to save everybody else. And we need to remember that. We need to do a better job of taking care of us first. That doesn't mean ignore everybody else. But I really started with this attitude of, if I can't be my own best friend, I can't be a best friend to anyone else. I can't be a good wife or mother or Mimi. So I had to rewrite the script. It was my only option.
That's powerful. And, you know, Sherry and I did a podcast episode for Life Lessons called Self-Care Isn't Selfish. And you and I are how many years apart are we in age?
I will be 49 before this podcast airs.
Okay. Okay. So. Well, when this comes out, I'll be 52. So we're pretty close. I thought we were pretty close. And we were raised to always be good little girls, do for others. we had to look a certain way and try really hard, and that was just part of it, right? And so we've had that internal dialogue of, oh, I need to be good enough for society. I need to be a certain size. I need to look a certain way. For you, it was your hair and our weight and so many things. And just being able to love yourself and then be yourself.
Yeah. And it's just that interesting dichotomy of trying to deal with what society tells you you should do and trying to deal with what internally you know is best for you. And those things are often at odds. And then you have all the other voices of all the other people in your life telling you, you know, good intended advice. For me, it was a real struggle because I had gotten to a place of being happy with who I was, but still not being thrilled with how I felt physically. And it wasn't so much about weight as it was that I just didn't feel healthy. So finding Delay, Don't Deny, when I did, I read that book in January of 2020, and I started fasting on January 22nd of 2020. So I'm still a relatively new faster. I mean, it's been a year and some, I guess it'll be a year and a half before this airs, but I still consider that fairly new. And it made sense to me because it was intuitive. It made sense to me because intermittent fasting would not have worked for me if I hadn't done the work on who I was first, because I wouldn't have felt like I was worthy of taking better care of myself. And I wouldn't have been able to keep the promise to myself to fast. So
that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, making a commitment to say, so when I make promises to other people, I keep them.
Right.
I was not good at all of keeping promises to myself. I was the first person whose priorities would be shoved aside. And so, you know, being able to say, I'm going to get up. I am going to wait until noon to eat. I'm going to eat until 8. And then I'm going to close my window. And then I'm going to repeat that. And I actually started fasting. We were getting ready to go on a vacation. And it was, my husband sometimes travels for work. And so this was a trip that we were taking. And it was kind of right before everything happened with the pandemic. So it was this very strange time where it was the first time, you know, the end of February was the first time I had heard the word COVID-19. And then we were on an island where they didn't let a cruise ship, they didn't let the people get off the boat. And I thought, wow, this is a big deal. Like, you know, people had signs hanging out the window of their cruise ship, like, let us off, off the boat.
It was like, so scary. I remember one of the moderators in the Delay Don't Deny group was actually on a 2-week cruise or something. And she was on it before anything was happening with the cruise ships. And while she was on it, everything started to unfold. We're like, oh my gosh, is she going to be able to get off the ship? She didn't even know. But it was, what island were you on?
We were in St. Kitts.
Okay.
And this would have been at the very end of February, early March. And, you know, I just kept thinking, what in the world is happening right now? And I actually felt proud of that little island that they didn't know the answer. And so instead of letting all of these people off that ship, they made the decision to protect their little island, which in retrospect was a really good decision. At the moment, it was a terrible financial decision. But in retrospect, it was the right decision to make. But I was fasting that whole time. So, you know, I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. And I sure had all these beautiful meals that were offered to me. But very quickly in my fasting journey, I became a window-worthy food snob.
Love it. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's buyoptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Have you not always been a window-worthy food snob?
I have always been a food snob, or at least for the past 10 years, yes.
Jenny and I know each other from, we've never met in person, but I can't believe, I don't know that I realized you didn't start till January of 2020, because as soon as Jenny popped into the Delay Don't Deny Facebook groups, I was like, there she is, she's a moderator. And so I swooped you in to the family.
Oh, I still remember that day, because I had connected with a couple other moderators and they're like, oh, don't expect Jen to contact you directly. She just doesn't have time for that. And then I got this message from you and I was like, I joke around that I was Jen struck.
Oh, that's funny.
Like the starstruck word that you'd respond to my posts on that group. And I remember I would be like, what did I say? She responded. What do I do?
Well, I saw you as a leader right away. That's, the teacher and me were always on the first day of school looking out to see who's going to be the leader. I saw it in you. So, I've only known you as a food snob who has window-worthy eating. So,
it's funny because I love to eat. And so one of the things about intermittent fasting is I had this like morning period of, wait a minute, I really enjoy my three meals a day.
Right.
I take all three of those very seriously. And giving that up felt like I mourned it, probably ridiculously. Breakfast, brunch is my favorite meal. So to give that up, I didn't give it up. I just now often have brunch in the middle of the day. So, it's
you
funny
moved it.
How
you delayed it.
I did. I delayed brunch. Actually, I just started eating brunch at normal brunch times, I think, like most people eat brunch around noon, I think. So that's what I started doing. It was just very interesting. Intermittent fasting came into my life again at a time where looking back, I think I had read about it before and it just didn't click with me. And reading the book in January, it clicked with me. And I was glad that Delay Don't Deny was the book that I stumbled across first, because it was short and sweet. It was to the point, and it didn't give me a lot of options. It just said, this is how you clean fast. Any other type of fasting isn't fasting. Go. And that's exactly what I did. I read the book, and I became a faster. And I ditched the cream in my coffee before I found the book. So that was a good thing. I didn't have that, whiny struggle about, I can't drink my coffee black. You can. You will not die. You will not die. It might feel like it, but you will not die. So I had already gone through that struggle even, and it just clicked. It was one of those things that it just clicked. I was, as a child, I didn't like to eat breakfast. It didn't feel good. I also didn't like to eat dinner very late. It didn't feel good. I don't like going to bed with a full stomach. It doesn't feel good to me. And when I get up in the morning, I want to get moving. I don't want to load my body with something. And I especially didn't want to load my body with the things that Americans call breakfast food. Processed carbs and things like that don't make me feel good. So, when you do all the reading that says breakfast is the most important meal of the day, I would be like, ugh, but I hate it. And it was a relief to know, listening to my body, I don't eat breakfast. It's just not something my body wants. I'm not even hungry in the morning. So it was a relief to read something that kind of reinforced, it's totally okay to listen to what your body wants and needs. And so that's what I do now.
You know, it's really, it's, And hearing you say that just confirms what I've heard so many other people say, that they naturally didn't want to eat at that time, but society told us we had to. Society told us it was healthier, it was better, it got you going, blah, 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 all the things we heard. And because we wanted to follow the rules we were taught, we're like, well, it's better, I have to do it. We did it. And then it didn't serve us well, but we did it because we thought it was right. And it was such a relief when we learned, hey, I don't have to do that. I've got a new rule I can follow that's better, and it serves my body better.
Well, and it helps to know that I felt crappy after eating breakfast for a reason. Those foods weren't the foods that are best for my body. And, you know, beyond fasting, Jen, you talk a lot about, you know, bioindividuality and the fact that what works for me for a meal might not work for you. And that has become more and more and more transparent the longer that I fast, is that intuitively I know what feels good. It might look like a really strange meal to someone, but boy, you know, I could eat bacon, eggs, and avocado every meal and feel fantastic. And I'll throw in a piece of sourdough bread every now and then, but not all the time. And that feels really good for me. I have friends who can't eat that way. They feel terrible. They feel terrible.
I couldn't. I wouldn't feel good with bacon, eggs, and avocado. I have to have the starchy.
Isn't that funny?
I have to have starchy. I don't feel good unless I've had something starchy. I would have to have the sourdough, like several pieces.
Right? I've just slowly learned that, you know, some days I have to have a roasted sweet potato with it. Some days I can have multiple pieces of sourdough and feel great. And then there's times where my body is like, whoa, some leafy greens would be a really great idea here. You know, it just, it's funny how your body really does tell you what you need if you're willing to just listen to it. You know, you get a plate of food to put in front of you. What is your initial reaction to it? If your initial reaction is, ugh, you know, but the good girl that I was taught to be didn't waste food. So one of my biggest things prior to finding IF and still while I'm doing IF is that guilt associated with pushing food away. You know, like I now very often will push away a half full plate of food. And there is still that guilt associated with how can you waste that? And, you know, I just tell myself, well, you can either waste it into the trash can, remix it as a leftover, or you can put it in your body and your body is going to have to deal with that junk. And it's going to take way longer for your body to dispose of it than if you just throw it away. So,
and that's also wasting it.
It totally is.
Eating food that you don't want and your body doesn't need is a different type of wasting the food.
Yes. No, it absolutely is.
It was wasted the minute you cooked more than you needed, whether you meant to or not, or the minute more was put on your plate than you needed. But you don't always know ahead of time. So losing that guilt about it is important.
It is important, and it's an ongoing thing, you know, and it's also funny. I used to be such a dessert hound. I mean, if there were sweets somewhere, I was going to go find them. And now I still really love delicious dessert, but it's funny how just a bite is all that I need, you know, to where my body will be like, whoa, okay, whoa. That was delicious. That's enough.
But that was enough. Yeah, you, I have watched you do some pretty amazing culinary things over the months. I feel like I've known you for a lot longer than I've known you.
It does feel like a lot longer.
It does. But you went to Vermont. Were you there for a month?
Yeah. So this whole pandemic isolation offered some new opportunities for my husband and I. So he has been working remote since March of 2020, and there's no end to that in sight. And so in October of last year, we picked up and relocated for the month, and we went to Vermont, and, you know, we're careful to follow all of their rules about quarantining and getting into their state, and we had a lovely time. And I got to, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know this before I went there, King Arthur Baking Company is headquartered in Vermont, about an hour away from where we were staying. And so all of the pandemic cancellations of their baking classes meant I got to go to baking classes pretty much. I think I went 2.5 weeks of the month we were there. So I would drive.
I'm so envious of that.
Oh, it was the most amazing experience. So I had become a pandemic baker. Like, I don't know that you can get much more stereotypical than that, but I was one of those people everyone was complaining about that was buying all the flour during the pandemic. That was me. And so I got to take like all of that homegrown knowledge, which everyone tells you there's a method to sourdough. Everyone has the right way to make sourdough. And then I got to go to this baking school where, you know, the instructors have been baking sourdough for 40 years. It was like being around, you know, the Buddhas and the yogis and, you know, the wisest wise people as far as sourdough was concerned. It was magic. It was so much fun.
Oh, I want to learn how to do it. One of the other moderators sent me some sourdough starter and I murdered it.
Yeah, you know, you probably didn't. Truthfully, you probably didn't.
It looked like if I ate it, we would all die of poisoning.
Well, yeah, you definitely don't want to eat something that looks that way, but it is actually very hard to kill a starter.
Well.
But I'd rather you err on the side of caution than try to
revive
some.
Like it had like pink fuzz on it or something.
That's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. You know, it's just, it's a really interesting thing, but it's one of those things where sourdough is also very intuitive. So I can cook sourdough in my kitchen, the humidity and the heat and everything in my kitchen, even the moisture in my hands will make the way sourdough reacts for me different than it might react for you. So I always laugh a little bit at all of the YouTube videos and online tutorials about sourdough because it's only valid for that person's kitchen at that moment. So you're kind of...
You know that I bake.
Yeah, you're kind of setting people up to fail.
I do the homemade bread, and it's really different. Here in Georgia, my house has a whole different humidity level in the summer than it does in the winter.
Totally.
And so it turns out completely different. Like a whole batch could turn out awful.
Yeah.
And I made it the same way I made it 6 months ago. And Chad's like, what's wrong with this bread? Why is it? And I'm like, sorry, Dad, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a master.
So, you know, so I went from Nebraska, you know, I learned how to make bread in Nebraska humidity in the summer of 2020. And then I go to Vermont in the fall and actually learn how to bake bread at a baking school and try to take those techniques back home. And in my kitchen, like sourdough just laughs in my face. It's like, huh, yeah, that technique's not going to work here. That's real cute. But it's just a matter of you just have to trust it. It's funny how I always relate everything back to intermittent fasting. Like for me, with intermittent fasting, I'm not one of those like strict window people. You know, I have a sweet spot of a window that works really well for me, but there's days that I'm hungry outside of what my normal window would be. And so it really is similar to sourdough. Like if I would force a loaf of sourdough to bake at a certain time because that's what someone told me was right, it's going to be terrible. If I ignore the fact that I'm hungry after my window closes, my next day is going to be a nightmare.
That's a good
because
point.
I'm not fueled. I'm not. It's one of those things that it's hard to tell people. You know, I get a lot of friends who are like, just tell me how to fast. Just tell me what to do. What hours can I eat? And like, I wish it was that simple, but it's not. You know, just tell me what to eat.
What time should I open? What time should I close? I'm like,
what should I eat during? You know, it's like, you have to do the work to figure that out for yourself. And people don't want to hear that. We live in an easy button society where everybody wants the answer right now. Well, if we had that answer, we would all be at our optimal weight, living our best, healthiest lives. And we clearly aren't. So, you know, it's one of those things that you really have to dig in and do the work. And for me, I found intermittent fasting at a time in my life where I was willing to do the work. And I'm so grateful for that because I will fast from now on. It's just a part of who I am.
So you mentioned that you have a sweet spot, that's your sweet spot, but you then flex around it as necessary. How would you describe like the day that is your ideal, perfect sweet spot day and then versus how you flex it, like what might other days look like?
Yeah. So when I started fasting, I was, I started with 16:8 and very quickly 18:6 felt better. And then 19:5 felt better. So when I first started, 19:5 was where I started seeing the scale move. And I was like, wow, okay. And then it stopped. And I didn't feel good anymore. And so for me, 21:3 was kind of the sweet spot. And I am amazed. My husband and I, we really do love good food. So the meals, my sweet spot is a one meal a day, kind of spread out over 2.5 to 3 hours. So for me, eating from noon to 3 or 1 to 4 is a really lovely window. So I usually open with a creamy cup of coffee. I can't eat dairy. It's something I've discovered about myself long ago. So I will make a latte with macadamia nut milk or something that feels good to my body. I usually open with that and I'll have that while I cook. I really enjoy cooking and have gotten pretty good at being able to cook without tasting things. So I bake a lot without tasting, but my meals are better if I can taste as I go. So that's my preferred method, is that I'll open with a cup of coffee. My window is open. I can now cook and, you know, refine the taste of my meal. And then we'll sit down 1 or 1:30, have a huge meal.
So Scott eats his big meal at the same time. Your main meal of the day is there together because he's working from home.
He's working from home. And truly, this would have never happened. You know, he had gotten in the habit of coming. He only works a mile away from where we live. So he had gotten in the habit of coming home for lunch. But it's easy to, you know, have meetings scheduled over it and whatever else. Well, now that he's here, it's this. Him working from home solidified his fasting practice because he just really couldn't manage it as easily going to the office. Now it's a priority, so he would manage it now. And then, you know, for us, we both have a sweet tooth, him more than I. So there is some sort of dessert in his day that's usually chocolate every day. And for me, it's probably 1 out of 3 days I'm hunker in for something sweet at the end of my meal. But it might be an hour later or 90 minutes later. And sometimes it's another cup of creamy coffee for me.
Yeah, that'll fill that sweetness need that you have, definitely.
Yeah, and it's funny because I share pictures of my meals with some of the moderators and my friends all the time. And I recently, I don't even know if you know this, Jen, but I recently spent 10 weeks in Hawaii with my daughter.
I did know that. Yes.
Yeah, so but she was working, so she was finishing her optometry clinical rotation. And 2 years ago, she sends me a text. Hey, Mom, one of my clinical rotation locations is Honolulu, Hawaii. Wink, wink, palm tree, you know, like all the emojis. And I said, well, let's do that. And the response is, do not mess with me. This isn't funny. And I'm like, no, really, if that's an option, let's do it. How are we going to do that? Blah, 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 you know, like all the things. I'm like, Megan, when else are you going to get to spend 10 weeks in Hawaii? When else am I going to have the excuse to spend 10 weeks in Hawaii? So in 2019, we committed to this. And then like the world changed, you know, we went through a pandemic and we went through all these things. So we, even 2 weeks before she was supposed to go, we weren't sure if the rotation was going to stay intact or anything, but it was like the world just, you know, the universe rolled out this red carpet of, nope, you're supposed to be here. And slowly every obstacle got out of the way and off to Hawaii we went. So we spent 10 weeks there, which was amazing. But most of my meals were solo because I eat in the middle of the day. She was working. For the first month we were there, we didn't really have any visitors. And I would go out to eat and order like 3 things. I would order, you know, an appetizer. I might order 2 appetizers. I might order 2 entrees. And waiters or waitresses would say to me, is someone joining you? And initially, I used to get really offended. I'd be like, worry about yourself.
Yeah. Like,
worry about yourself. Or the right. other question I would get would be, are you a food critic? Are you
yes.
trying things?
Start saying that. Yes.
Right? I should have.
You should have. You know, yes, so, I am.
Yes, actually, I am. I could be. That would be fun.
Ooh, but that would be.
It would be fun. But, you know, it was just so hilarious because we do have this judgmental thing of like, did you see her? She just ordered, you know, the shocking thing is I usually finish what I order. So then they're like, whoa, she was not messing around.
Right.
But it's funny because I used to feel the need to defend why I had just ordered everything. You know, I only eat once a day. And then you have to explain fasting. And then everybody has an opinion about what you're doing to yourself. And it's usually that you're, you know, not eating correctly. And I just don't care anymore. I just order and eat and whatever. Like if they have a genuine question, I'll answer it. I used to carry Fast Feast Repeat around with me. And so, you know, if people had a question, I'd be like, well, this is the book you should read. Like,
right.
You can take it up with Jen. And, you know, it was just, it's just funny how I just don't care. I don't have the energy to worry about what someone thinks of what I ordered at lunch anymore. I just don't care.
Yeah, because, you know, you feel good. That's the thing. You know, people can throw out any argument in the entire world about it's not healthy and blah, 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 and this and the other. And I'm like, well, you know what? When I was 210 pounds and I felt like crap all the time, that did not feel healthy. But now I feel amazing. So if my body is really unhealthy now, it's masking it by feeling great. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You know, I'll take feeling great. Yeah, but I mean, obviously, that's not what's happening. Feeling great is a good sign that things are going well.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because it's not just, you know, I never thought that I would have a healthy BMI. I was one of those people that was like, that number is not even accurate. Why do we look at that number? And so when I started fasting, my first goal was to be the weight that I lied about on my driver's license.
On your driver's license.
That was my first goal. And it was a lofty one for me. And so I blew past that goal and was like, well, now my driver's license is the liar in the wrong direction.
Right.
Like, this is awesome. And then I started creeping closer to that healthy BMI number that I never thought was going to be possible. And it was mind-blowing to watch my body do what it could do when I treated it properly. And, you know, I was exercising, but mostly I was just being mindful. When I started fasting, I actually dropped a pretty obsessive exercise habit that, looking back, was not good for my brain. I exercised out of guilt and shame. And if I didn't get so many calories burned or so many hours in, it was a failure of a day. And to realize that my body can do the work with just a normal day's worth of work for me has a lot of heavy work in it. You know, I garden and I do things around the house. And, you know, especially this time of year, managing the garden is a lot of heavy lifting and a lot of sweat and a lot of work. And I don't need a workout in addition to that. My body's like, okay, enough. Like, you're wearing us out here. This is enough for today. So to realize that, you know, I can incorporate healthy movement just by what I do every day. You know, my job as an occupational therapist was exactly the same way. It was a lot of heavy lifting. It was a lot of time on my feet. I didn't need a workout in addition to those shifts.
Well, I mean, exercise wasn't even invented until modern day. So you know, think about that.
Because people's jobs were work.
Yeah. I mean, exercise was an invention. The idea of lifting weights or doing aerobic activity in addition to living your life. If you went back, you know, 200 years, people would be like, what in the world? You know, for like running, they'd be like looking to see who was chasing you. I mean,
exactly.
You know, you would look like ridiculous, you know.
Isn't that funny? I mean, we truly, when you look at just the history of everything to do with our weight, what is considered a healthy weight has changed so dramatically over time. And, you know, I was one of those people that I had tried every diet. I had tried them all. I had all of them. I had done every shake, every potion, every injection, every doctor's monitored miracle cure. I had done them all. And I would lose weight and I would look sickly, like terrible. I would look terrible. And then the moment I would stop, I would just pack the pounds back on, usually with wild abandon of, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not doing this anymore. But it's funny to watch, you know, people who fast, you've heard this over and over again. They age in reverse.
Right.
For real. I mean, I look back at photos of friends of mine who fast and I'm like, they look 5 years younger than they did 10 years ago. Or I look at pictures of myself, and a lot of it has to do with the just mental work that I've done to truly embrace who I am in this body that I have. But, you know, what it does to your skin, what it does to your joints, what it even did for me, for like, I was going so gray. I had done the gray hair transition, and now I have like red streaks coming back in my hair, you know?
Sorry.
So I'm like, wait a minute. I had embraced this silver goddess look, and now I have brown and red coming back in my hair. It's like hilarious.
But, I think it's so pretty. I can see it because we're on video and it's beautiful.
You know, it's just, it's so funny to, you know, to just be confident and content in the body you have, because it's the only one you've got, folks. You can fight it all you want, but, you know, embracing it and saying, okay, what does my unique, beautiful body need? And giving it that. And for me, you know, I am a one meal a day kind of woman, and I like how that feels. And, you know, as we are slowly breaking out of this pandemic and, you know, seeing people again, I am so grateful that this fell into my lap when it did, because being in a house all day and not having a plan would have been disastrous for me. I would have come out of it.
I think it was for a lot of people.
I would have come out of this. I would have eaten as a hobby. That is what I would have done. And my body would have suffered as a result of it. And instead I got to, you know, I did a lot of baking and a lot of cooking and a lot of sharing of those things, you know, socially distanced in the proper way. And I really did become that person who I have started spitting out bites of food. I know that might sound disgusting, but if something, I am not going to swallow a bite of food that doesn't taste good. I'm not going to keep going with it anymore. And it is such a shift from that Jenny who couldn't waste a single bite, you know, who would eat the last of a meal just to avoid wasting it. So, you know, these changes that happen over time, I don't even know who that person was anymore. I really don't. I mean, I look back and think, oh, I remember how hard it was to be that person. And I'm just so grateful that that person's in my rear view.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in some ways, you really still can eat as a hobby. You didn't give that up. But now you're eating as a hobby with no guilt attached to it, and in a way that feels good. And so it's like win-win.
It is. No, the ability to not have to count a calorie or to not have to measure things is so refreshing. And I get that question all the time. And I, you know, as moderators, we see that question all the time. Well, what should I eat? How many calories should I have? And we're so programmed that there was a right number of calories that people feel like we're lying to them, or that there has to be some secret potion that I'm withholding, and that, you know, eventually I'll give it to.
It's my magic fasting water.
Right.
I will sell it to you.
Right.
No, there is not.
That's the funniest thing, is we're programmed that unless we've paid for something, it can't possibly be good for us or valuable.
Or work.
Right. So, you know, I really think that we could give people a sticker to wear on their forehead and suddenly intermittent fasting would work for them because they paid $99 for
it. Like Dumbo's magic feather, you know?
Exactly.
And when he could fly, when he held the magic feather, but really he could fly without it, but he felt like that was what it was.
Isn't that funny? And I know that you've dealt with this the whole time that you've been, you know, writing about intermittent fasting, and, you know, it's just that belief that, okay, this is too good to be true. It's going to work for me initially, and then it's going to stop working. I think there's just that fear. And then, you know, one of my favorite questions still moderating is people who ask about their favorite protein shakes or their favorite smoothies or their favorite diet drink. I love that question because I will never have another one of those ever, ever.
Yeah. Nope. Me neither. I will never have a protein shake again because I don't like them. Now, if I loved them, I would have one.
That is how I answer every time. I'm like, you know, they'll say, what is your favorite protein shake? And I feel a little like trauma when people talk to me about protein shakes because I sucked them down.
Me too. I tried.
For years. And I remember carefully measuring out the, you know, the little plastic, tiny little scoop and you had to use so many scoops of this with so many scoops of that and this perfect amount of banana or, you know, whatever on Mondays. And so I was always watching these recipe books and carrying these ridiculous scales around and, you know, I had a portable blender. It was so ridiculous.
Oh, I had one of those. I had one in my classroom.
Oh, yeah. I had them everywhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Whir up my shake. And then I would be like, delicious.
This is so good.
This is so yum. No. But so, yes, if you love protein shakes, if they are your jam, knock yourself out. Drink
with
them.
Whatever one you like.
Enjoy them. Whatever one you like. I personally will eat a sandwich or I will not spend my window on something that is not appealing to me.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Can I tell you my latest obsession and it's all your fault?
Yes, what?
Rancho Gordo beans. I finally started cooking them. You know, for people who obviously don't know.
I'm going to send you a video.
Please do. Jenny ordered some Rancho Gordo beans. When was that? When did you tell us you were ordering those beans?
I've ordered them previously, and then I'm on the waiting list for their bean club, which I still haven't gotten into the bean club.
I want to be in the bean club.
The bean club. Isn't this so funny? Like, I'm chomping at the bit to be in the Rancho Gordo bean club. There's a waiting list thousands of people long.
Well, I'm Jen Stevens. No, I'm joking.
I know. Like, okay, Jen, here's – if you get in, you have to get me a slot, okay, too. That's the only deal. They make the most beautiful – they have the most beautiful product. I grew up eating dried beans that were disgusting. They didn't taste good. They would be kind of reconstituted. And these are like heirloom beans that are grown with love and have been carefully sourced and packaged, and they come to you freshly dried. So they haven't been sitting.
I had never cooked dried beans.
Mm-hmm.
I was so scared of them. And then you were like, look what I'm ordering. And I'm like, well, I like beans. I'm going to try that. So I ordered you had to spend $50 to get free shipping. So I ordered $50
worth
of
beans. That's a lot of beans.
They sat in the pantry for months. And so like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to do this now. I finished my new book. I've turned it in.
Love it.
I got time. What can I do? I'm going to make these beans. And so I am now opening my window every day with beans. Yesterday, I made Christmas limas, I think they're called. Have you had
those? They're so delicious.
That's what I'm going to eat today. I'm hiding them from Chad. I'm going to open my window.
I have been away from home pretty much, except for one overnight. I've been away from home since March 1st. And so I got home Monday. And Tuesday, I soaked beans. Wednesday, I cooked beans. So we have two kinds of beans right now. But there's a flageolet bean and then a Mayakoba bean are the two that I did. And I cooked them simultaneously but very differently. So I used different fats in them both and different spices and herbs. And so they turned out – one is when I used bacon fat. So that one turned out very smoky and porky and lovely. And then the other one I did with garlic olive oil. So it's lighter, and a charred lemon. So it's lighter and brighter, and it's actually really fun to serve them side by side because they're so different. But there is a wonderful video, and I'll send you the link to it, but it's called Carla Makes Beans.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube, and it's like a test kitchen video. And she is hilarious. I want to be her friend. And she just talks about how to make the perfect pot of beans. And it blew my mind back when I ordered, you know, Rancho Gordo in bulk like you did. And then, but also Rancho Gordo's site is also an amazing resource. They have all sorts of recipes and all sorts of methods for making beans. And you're going to get all sorts of different opinions about, do you have to soak beans or not? I am team soak.
Then do you drain them?
I do not.
See, me neither, because I read Rancho Gordo had, they said, well, you could do it either way, but soaking them, you don't want to discard the cooking or the soaking water because some of the nutrients will be in there.
I'm like, everything is in there. Well, yeah. And I think it's because we grew up on those canned beans that have that disgusting, slimy liquid. That is not what you get when you soak these fresh beans. And it's so fun. I put them in a big I have lots of jars around because I can and stuff, but these big half gallon glass jars. And so you put a half pound of beans in the bottom and fill it with nice cold water. And then you go to bed. And the next morning, you know, the beans have, I don't know, you can almost hear them like, hey, we've been plumping up for you overnight. It's just really fun to see how much they change. I mean, a bean can double in size.
Those limas were crazy looking.
They even changed
colors. Yep. Yeah. But I've also learned that depending on the bean, like I'm cooking them right now in a pressure cooker. It depends. Different beans, like one bean I made, these little black ones, I can't remember what they're called, but they like were still very, like it took them extra long. And then I tried that with these white beans and then they were like mush. I'm like, look, Chad, this is going to be bean soup because that's what it turned into. It was still delicious.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think there's bean soup. There's just someone cooked their beans wrong. I'm like, well, yeah. Okay.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, when you find, you know, like I definitely have a sourdough method that's my method now. And I definitely now have a bean method. It's not my method. It's Carla's method. But it's fascinating. You know, I'm a big Instant Pot user, pressure cooker kind of person. And I don't do that with beans.
Really?
So, nope. I make
beans. Because you can't see what's happening. You don't know.
No, and you can't see what's happening. And each bean really does. So even the same type of bean, depending on how long it's been dried, what the humidity level was when it was dried. So, you know, that seasonal thing, you know, California where Rancho Gordos are, you know, dried and processed, their humidity varies also. So, you know, a bean that took 2 hours to cook might take three on certain days. So you do have to be a little more.
Well, I got to watch Carla then. I need Carla.
Yes. I'll send you the link. I just pulled up the video so that, because I know people are going to be looking for this now. It's called Carla Makes Beans from the Test Kitchen with Bon Appetit. And it's, you can find it on YouTube. And it is the funniest video. So she's just an absolute joy to watch. And I just want to go sit in her kitchen. She's one of those people, Jen, I felt very much the way about her that I felt when I first met you, which was only online. I used to tell people that Jen was my best friend in a very non-stalker way. And then now I'm like, I think Carla could be my best friend.
There, like, you go.
So no, she's just one of those people that you think, oh my goodness, if we met, it would be amazing. I would love to cook with her. So Carla, call me. Call me. That'd be great.
That's great. And I have to make myself a note in my calendar to go to Rancho Gordo and buy a bunch of beans prior to this episode coming out on September 16th, because I don't want people to buy up all the Christmas limas. I mean, if you think you don't like lima beans, then you have had them right.
And the Rancho Gordo beans, they have the most beautiful varieties of beans. Like one of my favorites, they have these black caviar lentils that are these tiny little lentils, and they're just magic. But it's funny because, you know, I get on the waiting list for beans that you like. It sounds so silly, but I get so excited when I get a Rancho Gordo email that's like, your beans are back. And I'm like, woo!
Yeah, I just go, whatever they have is what I order.
Yeah, no, it's great. But that's like, yeah, now I'm going to have to. Now I'm going to have to reach out and bother them again and see where I am on the waiting list for the Bean Club.
That's fabulous.
So funny. It's great. Well,
I thank you for that. And my husband is so happy. Chad is so happy. He's like, I love these beans.
Isn't it so funny preparing, but it's one of those things where it's not a quick thing to prepare.
No.
It's something that most people don't know a lot about. I think
I was scared of them.
Yeah. I think dried beans are one of those things that scare people. And we haven't had great historically, you know, like I was served canned lima beans as a kid. They aren't good. They're just not good. So
I can doctor them up and make them delicious, but my enough butter and cream and salt and pepper.
I haven't had that experience, but it was kind of like Brussels sprouts. Like I grew up eating boiled Brussels sprouts. Like they're terrible. And now, you know, now Brussels sprouts are all the rage. Every restaurant makes their version of delicious Brussels sprouts. So I think beans are having the same renaissance, and it's all because of Rancho Gordo. They're a great company. Yeah, they're great.
I'm training my gut. I mean, you know, I've always been a bean eater. You know, I've loved beans. And when we both did the Zoe study at the same time, or I did mine right after you, but beans came back as a very good food for me. Mm-hmm. But even so, let me just say, you have to train your gut to manage the increased volume of beans. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell a difference already from when I like really upped my level of beans to now. It's been, I don't know, over a week, 2 weeks almost, I guess. And I'm already doing a little better with that.
That's good. Happy. You know, you have to train your gut with everything. And I think, you know, it's an important thing for new intermittent fasters to understand. We get a lot of poop questions on the, you know, the Facebook page and the groups. And it's because you're making a change. You know, if you're making a change to what you're eating or the timing of what you're eating, it would make sense if your input changes, that your output would change. And people get really alarmed by that. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know we are notorious for saying, trust the process. It just takes time. But it truly just takes time for your body to figure out, okay, what do I do with this large amount of food given to me all at once? But my body is definitely way happier to focus on digestion once during the day and then not have to worry about it, you know, the rest of the day. I just feel so much better.
So before we wrap it up, which I can't believe we're about to have to do, overall, how much weight have you lost overall? Because we danced around the weight loss. You never really said.
You know, when I came to intermittent fasting, I had already lost some weight just by making some changes to my diet. But my highest ever weight was 197 pounds. That was the highest number I ever saw on the scale. I'm about 5'6". And I know for sure I was much heavier than that. I just wouldn't get on the scale to confirm it. So that was probably 2011, so 10 years ago. And then I tried every diet in there. My lowest ever weight on a diet, on a fad diet, I was down to 138 pounds, and I looked like I needed to be hospitalized. I looked very, very sickly. My happy spot weight now is somewhere between like 148 and 158, which seems like a pretty big range. But I will tell you, I don't weigh anymore. I don't weigh anymore at all. And recently I stopped tracking my fasts. So those
you're just
were
living.
Big. I'm just living.
Love it.
I'm just living. And it's very different. I was really attached to my fasting app, and to the point that I was panicking one day when it wouldn't work. And it was that mental little reminder of, okay, Jenny, if this is causing you this much anxiety, it might be time to let this go. And so my fasting app has been not used for almost 30 days, and I don't miss it. And then, you know, I was real tempted to get on the scale when I got home after being away from home for 3 months. And I just don't. If clothing starts to tell me there's a problem, then I know what to do. It's, you know, it's not a panic. It's not anything like that at all. It's just, okay, my windows have gotten a bit long. For me personally, if I start eating beyond feeling satisfied, that's when things go awry for me. And it's, you know, I tell a lot of friends, I truly eat until I am satisfied, not one bite or sip more. And it's when I'm having several sips or bites more that things can go awry pretty quickly. And that can happen in a very short eating window.
That's true. It can.
A short eating window and still eat beyond what your body wants or needs.
That's true. So, well, to wrap it up, what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
You know, I feel like I came to this with the knowledge that I needed, which was nail the clean fast. Nail the clean fast. Don't worry about anything else. Make sure that you are clean fasting and just settle in. This isn't, you know, it's hard to tell someone you might not see anything for 6 months. Oh, I would also tell them ditch your scale, which is a really hard thing for most people. But my weight can vary 7 pounds in a day. In a day, from morning to night, I can change that much. That's not a reliable measurement. So, you know, to be able to just have a more, you know, pick out a pair of pants or a dress that will be your guide. Take lots of photos and have other people look at them, because we don't see ourselves truly. You know, have someone that you trust look at photos with you and point out what you don't see.
Excellent advice.
That I think is probably the best advice I could give someone. But this is not going to be fast. It's going to be a way of life. And we don't expect fast changes when we, you know, in our lifestyle. So settle in. You've got one big, beautiful life to live, and this is just one part of it.
Perfect. Well, Jenny, I have really enjoyed it. I knew that I would. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.